to the annual Hanukkah anniversary of Yeshiva. I just want to mention the Messiah, whether she wise, Baruch Hashem. I just want to be able to ask his father what the wish is. I have to tell him how good he's doing in Yeshiva. Anyway, the Meister, Moshe came to Yeshiva a few years ago, Baruch Hashem, what a steiging has done. The seeing that was made tonight was just a Bina's Dorm seeing of Moshe, not just because of the saying of Yeshiva. And he's a pride and joy of Yeshiva, an example of how much we brainwash our guys. Okay, anyway, I just want to thank Moshe for being my chavrusa, and I want to bless him and give him the gavala the bracha that he should continue to stay, enjoy the 91-year program with the yeshiva, and Mr. Shem, you all follow. So there are forms outside to sign up. Anyway, I would like to introduce our guest speaker for tonight. It's interesting, tonight is our 10th anniversary. We started on Chanukah Tovshin Samaches. Zois Chanukah. So we obviously didn't have a Mesibah, but we started the Yeshiva that day on Zois Chanukah Tovshin Samaches. Tovshin Samaches. We had our first Chanukah Mesibah of Yeshiva, in Satmo Hall. And our guest speaker there was the Dovra Lavsky. So it's very apropos that on our 10th anniversary now, the governor is joining us. It's interesting to know, someone told me, I grew up in West Hempstead, my two brothers, Reb Shalom, Rosh Koyla, Reb Doiver, Magichir, Yeshiva. We grew up in West Hempstead, and we went to one of the very famous yeshiva that everybody here knows, Hank. Anybody heard of it? Yeah, anyway. And someone was expressing to me, he said, it's very interesting to note how many Rosh Yeshivas, Magid Shiurim, and very chashuv and noted speakers and mashpiyim came out of Hank. Now Hank was a day school, is a day school. And it's very, very interesting to note the great accomplishments in the Torah world of people who came from day school. It's a lesson that people, somebody came out and a tremendous chus, his rebbetzin was just nifta, but tremendous chus to the Vendel family, who bets I'm related through my brother-in-law, but the Vendel family who started yeshiva in nowhere, it was over there, Hank, when I was in Uniondale, mom, there wasn't a Jew around, and West Hempstead was a Jewish community, when they came, there was nothing, and built up a yeshiva that produced tremendous, tremendous people. One of those people they produced is somebody who has a tremendous influence, not only in Eretz Yisrael, but all the world. He's asked to speak. In fact, he came back just last night from Los Angeles, and he was so kind to accept the offer to speak tonight. And Taka Rabbeisai, I remember when he spoke, when I was a Rebbe in Torah Or, he spoke there, and one of the receivers, we still have the disc, can be sold outside and posted in. But anyway, how many boys came from that, just Mechanic and Mesibur, that speech were turned on and had tremendous influence in their life. I know kama of them. And this is not just one yeshiva and seminaries that Reb David has tremendous, tremendous hashpah with Koyach HaDibur. We have a tremendous chus tonight to welcome Reb David Olavsky.
Thank you very much, and what a tremendous coincidence for me to have this opportunity to be able to speak here at the yeshiva. I don't think it's a problem with the mic. It's hard to stay close with Mashmian, so it's a problem. So, you know, you have to turn it up much more. Okay. No, it's a pretty small room. It's really young. Anyway, so it's a tremendous chus for me to have the opportunity to be able to speak to everybody, especially this Hanukkah. And I have to tell you, I'm only sitting here a couple of minutes, and I am already inspired because what the yeshiva has accomplished in 10 years. What the yeshiva has accomplished in 10 years is already legendary. I mean, everybody knows about the yeshiva and your yeshiva and the tzevet and the guys and all the tremendous things you've accomplished. But what I'm amazed of is taking a look at this meal that they are serving you on just a Hanukkah. There's no mitzvah to have basar v'dogim and all this kind of stuff on Hanukkah. The Mishnah brings down the only reason to have a Suda on the Hanukkah is to be able to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to thank Him for all the nisim. Well, based on this Suda, we're going to have a lot to say because this is really tremendously impressive. I really am. I've been to other ones. They give you three-day-old Sufganiyot, you know, and a bereka of indistinguishable filling. And I'm just looking around here. This is amazing. So, I will tell you this much, right? Assuming that this is the average yeshiva, fundraising is not easy. So if the yeshiva has chosen to spend this kind of money on you, they obviously have a tremendous amount of respect for you as Bachram. And I just, it's amazing. And I share with you the insight that you could say about me that I said about my mother. My mother passed away in Shvat. I'm still in the Velas. And, you know, a few people came by, and I said to them, I said, you know, my mother really liked you. And she didn't like a lot of people. So when she liked you, it really meant a lot, you know. And I don't say nice things about everybody. So if I'm telling you something nice, take it not just at face value. It really means something. So we have to really get into Hanukkah. Hanukkah is an opportunity. Every day you can do almost anything, right? For example, you can do tshuva any day. So what's the power of Yom Kippur? The power of Yom Kippur is that the time is lined up. It's like those childproof caps. When the two little arrows are lined up, it's very easy to pop it open. Right? If the arrows aren't lined up, you can still open it, you can get a pair of pliers, rip it open, you can cut it open, you can still get it open. Yeah? But when it's lined up, it's that much easier. So when a moed comes by, it means there's an opportunity now to be able to take advantage of a power. And I don't want to talk about what the power is of Hanukkah. And if you wanted to know where the power of Hanukkah is, where would you look? There's no Maseches Hanukkah, right? Where would you look?
I like that.
Shabbos. Okay, the short little Gemara over there in Shabbos, which sums it up. And if you wanted to find another place, Kedushas Levi is interesting because it wasn't actually written by Chazal. I don't mean to upset any of the Hasidim in the room, but I'm saying by Chazal, when they wanted to megalatel us, so the Gemara in Shabbos, it was one other place that they showed us what Hanukkah is all about. This is an easy one. Alan Nisim, yes, excellent. Alan Nisim, which people say when they daven, or if they bend. When I first started out speaking some 30 years ago, I used to say, when you daven and when you bench, but I know that that's no longer true. I'm working on my doctoral thesis on psychological problems that afflict the Orthodox community. The number one affliction is phlasiophobia. This is the fear of becoming phlasics. German Jews don't suffer from it as much. But you take a regular, ordinary Jew and you say, oh, the soup is great, you want to taste it? No. Why? Because then I'll be flaccid. What if I want coffee with milk or ice cream? I just can't do it. It's a six-hour commitment, you understand? Then you wonder why there's a singles problem, you know? People can't commit for 6 hours, you know? The second one is benchophobia. This is the fear of having to bench, right? My father would never sit down to a Suda without bread. My father-in-law would never sit down to a Suda without bread. Rabbi Pellig, the Rav of Shait, said it many, many years ago. He asked Rabbi Yoshe what bracha you make on a schnitzel. Now, for Americans, there shouldn't be such a question, because when they hear a schnitzel, they know that means a chicken cutlet. But a schnitzel has nothing in common with a chicken cutlet. A chicken cutlet is what you get, a little chicken piece that you put breading on and you lightly fry in both directions. If you took that and banged it with a mallet until it was four times its size, and then soaked it in oil long enough that if you put in a wick, you could recreate the Hanukkah miracle, that's a schnitzel. So it's mostly breading with a tiny little bit of chicken. If you like pull it all away, there's a little bit left inside. So maybe you make a mezayis. Say, yes, Rabbi Yoshev, what bracha do you make on a schnitzel? So Rabbi Yoshev says, I don't know, what's a schnitzel? So he says to the Rebbetzin, you never gave him a schnitzel? He says, tell him it's what he had for lunch. So he says, I don't know, who eats a schnitzel? You just wash and sit down to a sugar. Nobody would just pick up a schnitzel and eat it. Right? Yeah. Shavuos, we eat milchiks at night, like the Stipler did. That was in my family's minute. And so for Shavuos night, you know, we've got onion soup, and we've got lasagna, and we've got baked ziti, and we've got eggplant parmesan and blintzes, and all the milchik treats, you know. And I was frying schnitzels for the next day, you know, lunch, and my daughter sees one of them and just takes a little and pops it in her mouth. I said, what are you doing? We're having milchiks tonight. And we all had those delicious treats, and my son made her a scrambled egg, and that's when she developed a phlasiophobia. It's a sad story. But anyway, she says, who would just eat a schnitzel? But today, when you sit down in the suda, the first question everyone asks is, do you want to wash? No, I don't want to wash. I could have crackers, I could have rice cakes, I could have mazonis bread, mazonis rolls. I will never bench again. Because it takes the average teenager almost 14 seconds. Can I go? You didn't bench, I'll do it again. Can I go? Most people are traumatized from benching because since we were four, we had to sing that absolutely annoying song. Oh, hey, Tiva, hey, Tiva, yay, Tiva, no, gum, 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 right? It is so incredibly annoying. That's why by the time we hit Noda, we just gave up. Noda, no, 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 no. So people have been singing this, you know, through their entire childhood. By the time they're teenagers, they're traumatized. Nobody wants to bench, yeah? But if you do bench, you'll come to Al Nisim. And Al Nisim is where the Chazal summed up the story of Hanukkah for us. Listen carefully. Yimei Matzah Shiyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Avonav. That's when it took place. Kishav the Malchus Yavon HaRosh HaAmcha Yisrael, the evil Greeks. Lashkichem Tarasecha LaHavir Mechuk HaRetanecha. They wanted us to give up Yiddishkeit. V'yatov HaRechamecha Rabim, and you and your great mercy. And we won. It was good for you. It was good for us. Punchline. Cleaned up the base of Midrash. We lit the candles. We established the 8 days of Hanukkah to praise your name. What is obviously missing from Al Nisim, the most important part of Hanukkah? There is no mention of the dreidel. At no point does it say, and then we played with the dreidel. And that is the most important part. I was speaking to a group of future Jewish educators in Hebrew University. And I said, tell me, what do you remember from your Jewish education? And without hesitating, they said, dreidel, 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 I made you out of clay. And when you're tired and ready, I see all of you also have a quality Jewish education. So that was about it. Everybody knows about the dreidel, but the dreidel, yeah? So where's the dreidel in the story? Now, okay, I don't want to make it look like I'm being facetious. What I mean is, we know the story of the dreidel. The Jews went into hiding, and the Greeks came to look for them. And when the Greeks came around, so the Jews would hide all their stuff, take out a dreidel, make it look like they were running an illegal casino, and they left everybody alone. And then when the Greeks left, they took out their sfarim. I've been in yeshivas where it works the opposite. You know, the boys are sitting around playing cards. When the rabbim come around, they all pull out their gemaras. They pretend they're learning when they leave. Makes you wonder who won this war. But anyway, that's the that was the idea. There's no mention of that. The Greeks came, we fought them, we beat them. Where's the part where we're hiding up in the mountains? Where's the part where the base of Mikdash was defiled for 3 years? That whole thing is missing. So I want to share with you an insight from Yitzchak Isaac Shear, the Rosh Yeshiva of Slobodka, that I think holds the essence of the message for us. The Greeks came to Israel in the guise of Alexander the Great. They couldn't possibly defeat him. He was so powerful. In the 15 decisive battles of world history by Sir Edward Creasy, he writes that in the battle of Alexander against Darius, when he captured Persia, his entire army wasn't even as big as Darius's right wing. But the Greeks were so powerful, they wiped out this enormous army many times their size. So Israel didn't stand a chance, right? Obviously. So what did we do? We surrendered, and he said, fine, I will give you autonomy. But he brought them Hellenism. The Greeks brought to the world sports, theater, literature, science, universities, gymnasiums. They built all these things in Yerushalayim, and slowly the Jews were becoming Hellenized. They were all becoming Greeks. They used to wrestle naked in the gymnasiums. And so it was a busha for a yid. He had a bris milah. So Josephus writes that there were Jews who would undergo an operation to make it look like they didn't have a bris milah, and the operation was so painful that they often killed themselves because they couldn't handle the pain, but they were willing to try it so they could fit in with the Greeks. And so that was it. Yidden were leaving, and finally, Kodesh Baruch Hu B'derech Ha'Adam Rotzeh Leilech Halichano, so the way you want to go, God will help you. So he sends out the Yochanan and says, now you have to be Greeks. And most of the Jews were okay with that. I mean, you go to the average Jew today, you know, and you say, who are the bad guys? The ones with the sports, the ones who watch theater and movies, the ones who go to college. Forget about it. So who are the good guys? The lunatics, the fanatics, the crazies, right? So they all ran up into the mountains, and they hid there, yeah, and they would sit and learn. And it was a small group. Now, there was no time on them. What are you supposed to do? You can't fight the Greeks. The Greeks were the most powerful army on the face of the earth. And for 3 years, the Beis HaMikdash is empty and dark and tummy. And they're being makriv, chazirim on the Mizbeach. And there's nothing they can do. Nothing they can do. And after 3 years, a small group of crazies ask the following shaila: can we fight the Greeks? You expect to defeat the Greek Empire? No, we expect to die. So I don't get it. We want to show the world that there are still Jews who care about what they believe in, that they're willing to give up their lives. I know we don't stand a chance. I know it's a suicide mission. But how can I sit here and hide when I see the Beis Midrash being disgraced and Gaza being disgraced? Let them at least see there's a Jew who still cares to give up his life. Or is it suicide? Is it dying as Kiddush Hashem if I volunteer, or is it suicide? And they said, you're not the first one to ask this question. Nebuchadnezzar built a big idol, and he took three people from every nation and said, you have to bow down. And from the Jewish people, he took Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they said to them, get out of here, run and hide. And they say, okay, but if we don't want to, could we stand up and not bow down and then be thrown into that Kiddush Hashem? Is it mutter? And Yecheskel says, I have a Masorah from Yirmiyahu, has a Masorah from Yishayahu. That if you want to, you're allowed to. And that's how the Rambam paskins. You're not Mechuyev, you should run away. But if you want to, you can make a Kiddush Hashem. And that's what the Chashmonaim did. They got themselves together. Zaydim Biyadus Keser Secha, a bunch of yeshiva guys. Moshe, you hold the spear the other way. Shkoyach, yeah? And they pull themselves together, this small group, and they go to attack a Greek legion. One can only imagine the sight as the Greeks in their armor and arms look up and see a bunch of yeshiva guys running down the hill. Oy! Well, they fight and they win. And they were very disappointed because they were all psyched up to die as Kiddush Hashem. And instead they won. There was this briska who these Arabs caught him and they said, you're a Jew, we're going to kill you because you're a Jew. He said, you're going to kill me? He says, yeah, I'm going to die as Kiddush Hashem. Wait, I have to make a bracha. Baruch It's a brisket, so it's going to take a long time. Baruch. Anyway, let's get to the end of the story. Yeah, finally gets to the end of the brach about 20 minutes later. Yeah, how kiddush Hashem. The Arab says, "You're a lunatic." He says, "I'm not going to kill you. You're crazy." And he goes, "No." It's an epsic. So they're all looking at you in the magazine. No. He says, "Look, I'll tell you. There is a concept that you find in halacha called beginner's luck, and it could be that we were just lucky. Tomorrow we'll find another legion, we'll attack, and Rav Shama, I'll get you all killed. Fine." Comes the next day, they have been signed, he gives them a big musa shmooze, and they come running down again. Hi! And they win a second time. And they say, "Yehuda, you're the worst Rav general we've ever had, you know? Here we all come to Daras Kiddush Hashem." He says, "You know what? These must be small groups who will attack a big army camp tomorrow, and I'll get you all killed. Just count on me." Yeah? Okay. Come the next day, this giant army camp, and here comes this small group of Yeshivites. Yeah. And they win. So he says, "Her tzitzur aboysan." Like all great historical Jewish leaders, he spoke Yiddish. He says, "It looks to me like, Ken Zayn, it could be that we're going to win." He says, "What do you mean? You can't win. Everyone knows you can't beat the Greeks." He says, "Maman of Shah, either we'll win, or we'll die as Kiddush Hashem. It's a win-win. There's no way you can't lose in this deal." He says, "Okay." So they keep fighting battle after battle after battle. They can't believe it themselves. They keep winning. The Greeks are probably just as surprised, but they don't have that much time because they keep getting killed. Yeah. So finally they come, and they attack Yerushalayim. They win Yerushalayim. They come to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And, they don't even have a menorah. They take a temporary menorah and set it up. And Yehuda Maccabee says, "Find me Taha oil." He says, "Yehuda, there is no Taha oil. Look at this place." He says, "Find me Taha oil." He says, "You know the halacha, Tuma Huchba Rabba. If everybody's Tuma, you're allowed to do the Yavoda Batuma. Find me Tame oil." He says, "Didn't you ever hear the song? Hortu Chomos, Chomos Migdalai, Vitimu Koshmanim." That was their battle plan. Spartacus. Eradicus, hepatitis, let's go. Tell me. General, I found a barrel of oil. Tell me. Tell me all the oil. There is none. Find me Taha oil. You're crazy. Okay, fine. They search, and one guy, General Hanukkah, comes by and says, "You'll never believe this." I don't know if that's what it was named for now. But anyway, he says, "You'll never believe this. Look what I found. One Bach Shemin with the seal of a Kohen Gadol." He says, "Good. Put it all in." He says, "Wait a second, Yehuda, this is all we got. Just put in a little bit, and we'll burn for a little bit. Yotze b'di'evid. Put it all in. I just wanted to go for the whole time. Make thinner wicks," Beis HaLevi says. "And then you can fill it up. It'll burn for the whole time. It'll only be a smaller fire. Put in all the oil and put in the regular wicks." And he says, "But Yehuda, what will be tomorrow?" And he says, "Now you're practical. You went off and fought a war. There was no reason for you to fight. A war that you didn't stand a chance of winning. You mamish went beyond the call of duty. You were willing to do something you're not mechuyev to do and kill yourself. And now when it comes to halacha, you want to cut corners?" Let's turn to the Gemara in Shabbos. What's the mitzvah Hanukkah? Ne'er ishu beiso. Everyone in the house lights one candle. Mahadrin? Everyone in the house lights, you write one candle in the house. Mahadrin? Everyone in the house lights one candle. Mahadrin? Mina Mahadrin? That's already a machlekes b'zil b'shamay 8 7 6 5 4 3 2 1 or 1 2 3 4 6 7 8. Where do you ever find this in halacha? You have kosher, you have b'di'evit l'chatchila, you have hiddur mitzvah. What do you have? Seers, good, better, and best. Yeah, you got the mitzvah, and then you got mahadrin, mina mahadrin. You don't even have these terms in halacha. This is the only place. Not only that, everybody does the mitzvah mahadrin. Did you ever walk into somebody's house on the fourth night of Hanukkah and find one candle burning in the corner? You know, and they say, "What's this?" "Why, it's kosher. It's kosher. I got to do it mahadrin. I'm such a fanatic. I do so machmir, you know. It's kosher." Everybody does mahadrin. Not only that, the people who use the electric menorahs do it mahadrin. They turn on another light bulb every day. Yeah. Nobody does it kosher. It's all Mahadrin Mahadrin. How do you have a holiday? It's all Mahadrin Mahadrin. Because Hanukkah would not exist if we were kosher. If we were not kosher, we'd hide up in the mountains and wait
till God brought another nation to defeat the Greeks, or till there would be an internal politics, a new king would come up, something. We don't expect this to happen. There's no reason for this to happen. This is beyond all reason. We fought a war that was Mahadran and Mahadran. So the only way to light the menorah, Yehuda Maccabee said, is Mahadran and Mahadran. And the only way we celebrate it is Mahadran and Mahadran. Because Hanukkah is a holiday for fanatics. Not for kosher. There's no kosher. No kosher given. Nobody who says it's good enough. Hanukkah only exists because people did what they didn't have to do. And when we light the menorah, the question we have to ask ourselves is the following. How bedieved a life do you want to live? Because most people don't like to settle. I was in a hat store in Flatbush, and a guy came in with three people. Yeah, they'd already been there for about 2 hours. I came in, bought two hats, two suits, a pair of shoes, a tie, yeah, and a shirt. And he was still sitting there. Can we change the ribbon? Maybe give it to like this, like that, you know? And I said, how long does it take to buy a hat? And the guy said, he was here 2 days ago with another three guys. You understand? Because the hat has to be perfect. Yeah? I have, can I know, 8 daughters. That's the reason I became an international speaker. So, only chance I have of getting the bad thing for myself. Anyway, but when we have a simcha in the family, for me it's a tragedy. Because I have to outfit, well now I have, my son is also married, I have to outfit 9, that was my wife, 10 women. And there is no one continent where they can find clothes. Because it has to be like this, and it has to be like that, and it has to be this way, and that way, and this color, and this shape, this thing, you know. You can go crazy, because the dress has to be just right. If any of your parents ever remodeled, I think you're entitled to free therapy. I really do. Because mothers who are recycled, they're out of their mind. You can see them in their purse. They carry around like little pieces of carpet, you know? And they have one of those little, you know, paint things with like 5 shades of beige. And they have like 300 of them. And they stop people on the street. Which paint do you think goes with this carpet? Wait, I have a piece of tile here too. Like this, and just sitting it down. And people are going nuts. Do you ever go to a paper goods store? There is nothing in this world more transient than paper goods. They're made to be used and thrown away. And I see people sitting on the floor with a napkin and a cup and a thing, and they're trying to find just the right color scheme and set it all up so in the end they can wrap up the tablecloth and throw it in the garbage. But it's got to be perfect. People walking to a kosher pizza place, they have not changed their menu since 1981. It's all covered with grease. Half the letters have fallen down. It's the same exact thing. The same two obnoxious Israeli guys are running it. Yeah? And then they make falafel with that strange kind of a taste. You know? It's not as bad as in Israel. Israel has a different kind of a taste. You know how Israeli falafel gets that wonderful taste? You can watch as they're making it. Anyway. Just watch, okay? You think I'm joking, okay? Just watch. You see the oil sitting there in that van, and it hasn't been changed since Ben-Gurion was prime minister, trust me. Anyway, but because of that special flavor. Anyway, but, you know, they walk into a pizza place, and you're standing there going like this. I don't know. Should I have a calzone? I don't know. Should I have a salad? What should I have? And there's a whole line of people. And they're like, come on, could you just order something? The guy, this is lunch. I'm not going to order just anything. Because I want my lunch to be perfect. At the end of the day, you can see these people and say, how was your lunch? Perfect. How'd your hat come out? Perfect. How did that apartment come out? Perfect. How's your life? Okay. How's your marriage? Not too bad. How's your relation with your kids? Could be better. But my lunch was perfect. Because we don't want to settle for okay. I mean, we tell that to our rabbis. We say, come on, rabbi. Here's a true story. Somebody asked me this in Mashgiach Yeshiva. He says, what do I do? A guy comes up to me and says, what do you guys want from me? Referring to the seven. Yeah. What do you guys want from me? I just want to marry a beautiful girl, go into my father's business, make a lot of money, buy her jewelry, buy a big house, go on vacations, drink the best wine, the best scotch. You know what I mean? Go out and eat in restaurants. What's wrong with that? And I'll daven 3 times a day. And I'll have a daf yomi. What's wrong with that? I said, nothing. It's the perfect life if you're a goy. Because that's all you're here for, is to eat, to drink, and have a good time. You know? He says, no, but he also learned Dav Yomi. I said, you're a guy who learns Dav Yomi. This guy had a chavrusa for 6 years, he's learning Dav Yomi. He hands him an invitation. He says, what's this? He says, my son's bar mitzvah. He says, oh, beautiful. He says, I want you to come. He says, I'd love to. So I'm going to give you an aliyah. He says, I can't. He says, why? He says, I'm a guy. He says, you're a guy? He says, yeah. But we learned Dav Yomi. He goes, I love the intellectual exercise. He says, but you come to Shul every Shabbos. He goes, I love the davening. I love it. It's such a nice thing. Such a great family time. He goes, but you can't keep Shabbos. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, a guy can't keep Shabbos. He says, before I go to Shul, I stick a handkerchief in my pocket. He says, but we have an Eruv. He says, you hold from that Eruv? So you're good. You're a good guy. You're a good guy. But that's what my life is all about. Find the best steak, drink the best wine. That's it. That's what my sharif is. That's what my life is all about. One guy said to me once, because Rabbi, I don't know what you want from me. What's the big deal? You know, I'm okay. Okay, it's okay, good. So I said, you're in shidduchim, right? He said, yeah. I said, I have a perfect girl for you. He said, tell me about it. She's okay, nothing special. Good enough for you. He says, no, I want to marry somebody special. Why? You're nobody special. She's okay, you're okay, you'll get married, you have an okay marriage, a couple of okay kids, and when you die, they'll write on your tombstone, he was okay. No, I want to live an exceptional life. No, you don't. You want to have led an exceptional life, but you don't want to actually have to lead it. Did you ever go to a funeral where they tell the truth? It's so sad. Harry loves cigars. You ever see Harry with a cigar? He was never as happy as he was. And a glass of scotch. And none of this fancy stuff. Shivas. Yeah, Shivas and a cigar. He was as happy as he could be. And if you saw him with the Sunday Times, all Sunday. He'd read through the Sunday Times. And Harry's saying, there must be something else. Think about it. Think. Come up with something. They're going to put a box of cigars on his tombstone. That was it. That was all there was to Harry. We all want to live exceptional lives. We just forget. And so therefore we live an okay life, and it's okay. Hanukkah is a time for dreamers. Hanukkah is a time to move beyond. Yeah? I'm sharing with you from my misspent youth. I didn't use my time well. I had a Rebbe who once said to me, if only you could use your head for good instead of evil, imagine what you could accomplish. But I didn't. So I try to use whatever nonsense I have left over. This is from a song from the 60s. It was one of our angry songs. We were all angry in the 60s. Yeah. So it was Cat Stevens called Father and Son. Someone told me they remade it later. It's the father singing to the son. The son, the father says, it's not time to make a change. Settle down, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to learn. Get a job, find a girl. If you want, you may marry. You will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. Ooh, that got us so angry. And the son would sing, how can I try to explain what I do? I don't need the second part. I just wanted to show off my Cat Stevens. Anyway, but going on the moon. Anyway, but that's what they say. I had a guy came off to Eretz Yisrael. You know, after a couple of years, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, he started to get really into it. His father got really nervous. My son's becoming a fanatic. He's getting, you know, he's getting crazy. I want him to come back, go to college, get a job, make money, you know. I said to him, don't worry, he's young. It's just a phase. Eventually he'll give it up and be just like you and not care about anything but money. You know, he'll go back, he'll make money, spend it on himself. You'll be very proud of him, just like you. Don't care about anything. And the father said, thank you for that. He felt much better, you know. But dreams? I remember when I started NCSY Long Island, they had gone through 5 directors in 2 years. It was deader than dead. You walked in and said NCSY, they laughed in your face. There wasn't, nobody believed you because everyone came in, they planned things and they quit. So I was trying to restart it. There was nobody in the region, there was nothing. And I remember I came to Ray Belitsky, New Hyde Park, and he said to me, Bacher, you think you're going to do this? And I said, yes, Rebbe, I do. He said, Bacher, you know you're out of your mind. I said, yes, Rebbe, I do. He said, good, because nothing's been accomplished by a sane person. You got to be a little crazy. When a Apanovich Rav took Yecheskel Sarna out to Bnei Brak, which was a desert, and he points to a hill, he says, over there I'm going to build the yeshiva, and here I'm going to make a Beis Yaakov. and here I'm going to, you know, make an orphanage, and here I'm going to, you know. So because Kassana listened, he went back to Yerushalayim and sent a psychiatrist to talk to him because he thought he lost his mind in the war. He's sitting there building buildings in the desert, there's nothing there. Because that's Hanukkah. Hanukkah is when everybody tells you that it can't be done. Hanukkah is the time when everyone tells you it's not worth it. Just give up. Hide in the mountains. Wait till this is over. Wait till the danger passes. But it's the crazies who stand up and say, I will not sit back and watch God being disgraced anymore. I don't want to be okay. I want to live the exceptional life. Hanukkah is a time for dreams. I share with you a trauma from my youth when I was in elementary school in the Hebrew Academy of Nassau County. So during Hanukkah, they used to give us dreidels, and then we could play. And this was the best of all worlds, you know, because you could play with a dreidel, and you didn't have to have class, and you got something free. I mean, as a kid, this was it. Anyway, one year I get a dreidel, and I said, Rebbe, I got a defective one. There's no shin. He says, no, this is a new and improved dreidel. This is from Eretz Yisrael. Instead of Neis Gadol Hayah Shum, it's Neis Gadol Hayah Po. I said, that's ridiculous. I want my old dreidel back, you know? He says, no, it makes more sense. I said, why? He says, because when you get a shin, what are you supposed to do? Pay. So put on a pay. You get it? This is one of those many ridiculous things that people bring as proofs for things that mean absolutely nothing. Someone was explaining to me why you should keep Thanksgiving. Because to give thanks is hodu, and turkey in Hebrew is hodu. So that proves you should celebrate Thanksgiving. Anyway, but the first Hanukkah dreidel mistama was made in Eretz Yisrael. and they have to shin. Neis gadol hayah sham, it always did. Because what's neis gadol hayah sham when you think about it? There's a lot of sham words in Hanukkah. Shemen, chashmanoi, shmona. Yeah, you know, neshama. There's a lot of shum. You know what shum is? By definition, if you are shum, you're not po. Shum is someplace else. Shamayim, says the Maharal, is the plural of shum. All of the shum is when you get up to shamayim. It's there. If it's there, it's not here. It means that I'm not po. I'm shum. I'm going someplace else. I'm on a journey to a destination. I want to accomplish something with my life. I'm going somewhere. You know people have given up their journey already? That's it. They'll never be any better than they are today. They do whatever they do. They go wherever they go. And that's it. Yeah? Between now and their death, you can write the eulogy right now. There'll be nothing more to change except the number of children and grandchildren. But as far as growth, it's all over. Neis gadol hayah shum. No, shum is also the same word as shame, his name. And everyone knows this one from, you know, it's in the art school sitter, you know, that at the end of davening, you're supposed to have a pusik with the letters of your name. Otherwise, you get at the shemayim, you won't remember your name. All right? Next. What's your name? Oh, I used to know this, but I don't have any ID on me. Happy birthday to you. And for the rest of eternity, you sit on a bench going, Fred? George? No, that's not what it means. You know your name, Ho. You don't know your shame, Shum. Do you know you're a pusik in the Torah? Do you know that without that pasuk, the Torah is puzzled? Do you understand that you are essential to the Jewish people? How many from people I've met who've said to me, I feel like it doesn't matter to God whether I die or not. I said, make no mistake about it. He's got no shortage of ways of getting rid of you. So if you're still here, he wants you here because he believes you can do something that no one else can do. Shum, because you're going somewhere, because you're somebody who can do great things in this world. You don't know what it is. And the Yetzer Hara doesn't want to get you to do chatayim. That's small stuff. He's a very important malach. He's very busy. Yeah? He wants you to believe that what you do doesn't make a difference. Why should I bother davening? You think Hashem cares? As one person said to me, I get these lists of people who are sick and I daven for them. And sometimes they get better and sometimes they die. It's got nothing to do with me. Of course that's what the Satan wants you to believe. Because otherwise, you'll be davening for all kinds of things. And next thing you know, you'll end up bringing Mashiach. Because who do you think is going to bring Mashiach if not the people in this room? And let me stress this, because I'm in a very special yeshiva for this message. Most from people do what most from people do, because that's what most from people do. And that's it. And you know this as well as I do. And when you ask them why, they say, because that's what everyone does. Nobody stops to think why I'm doing it. There was a guy who put a note on his door, his dormitory door. He says, whoever gives the best answer to this question wins a case of beer. Why? Some people wrote, why not? Because. I said, who won the case of beer? Because the best answer to the question why is because that's how we did it in Europe. That's it. You know, you do what you do, and everyone does what everyone does. And nobody asks why. I used to teach in seminary. I stopped because I was messing up too many people. You know, they'd go out with a boy, you know, on a date, and he'd say, I want to learn long term. And she'd say, why? Because everybody's supposed to learn long term. Why? Why is that meaningful to you? Because that's what everyone does. He just fell apart. They'd carry him out. It was terrible. Yeah? But, I can tell you that the people in this yeshiva are here because they've made a choice. And that was the reason that this yeshiva was started, for people who think. So when it comes down to it, who do you think is going to bring Mashiach if not the people in this room? The people who turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I've made a choice. I decided not to live my life okay. I decided to live my life mahadrin and mahadrin. I want to live the best life that I can. And when a person does that, then they're able to look at this world and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm living my life for you. Trust me, I don't have to be here. I got places to go and things to do. I got plenty of opportunities, but I've chosen to sit in yeshiva and learn. And so when I tell you bring Mashiach, that means a lot more than 50 other guys who are doing it, because that's what you're supposed to do. Meis gadol hayah sham. Don't live po, live sham. I wasn't machadish this. You can take a look in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Stephen Covey writes it. He says, write your eulogy. If you want to know what your personal mission statement is, write your eulogy. Who do you want to be at the end of your life? Dream those dreams. Think big. You could do great things in this world. You know, as the Rashiva pointed out, you know, I went to a co-ed day school. We did 1.5 hours of Gemara a day. And you know how many Rashi Yeshiva and Mechantim and Marbitzei Torah came out of there? Because we chose to. And everybody here has made a choice to live the exceptional life, not to live a life that's okay. We should live a life shum, mahajan mirahajan. Aliftach l'chanakah.